So I've been asked to share personal testimony about healing, and I went through and made sure I wrote it up this morning, and it has disappeared. Throughout high school and my adult life, I suffered from pain, migraine, juvenile arthritis. Later, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. I had chronic anemia and uterine fibroids, which led to many health issues. I had to pop pain pills, and these issues at times were so severe that they impacted my work, church, and social life. I recall missing work or having to leave work halfway through the day, driving home in blinding pain. But God intervened. Hallelujah. I believe in prayer, and coming from a community that talk about the synergy between mind, body, and spirit, I kept crying out to God to remove these issues from me. I cried and I argued with God, one, telling him I cannot and I refuse to maintain medical practices and pharmacies. His word said, I also said, I believe in your word. Your word said, if we call on you and ask anything in prayer, you will grant our request. I looked at 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. My parents, who are strong believers in prayer, would encourage me to pray. And my mother often told me that my faith wasn't strong enough. You see, brothers and sisters, faith is important. I needed to believe, and others around me needed to believe that God could and would heal me in his own time. My prayers had to be consistent, and I had to comply with my doctor's instruction. First, it was chronic migraine. And this began happening less frequently, less intense. And today I can say my headaches are gone. Yes, I feel like they're coming on, but nothing like the past. And even as I meditated on what I would share, the devil has a way of casting doubt. So on Friday, after I got the email from Craig, you know, I started mulling it over and everything. And on Friday, I had to drive back from Rochester home, and I felt those headaches coming on. So I went home and I popped a tablet, which I haven't done for a very long time, took a nap, nothing happening. I got in the car and I started driving down. And I'm like, okay, Claudette, you're healed. This is the trick of the devil. And so at that moment in that car, I rebuked Satan and I cast him out of the car. I really told him, you had no place here. I am a child of God. God surrounds me. God said he has healed me and I am healed, and I'm claiming that. Honestly, after I did that, I felt better. And the drive home was peaceful. I am a person of music, so my music was on, and I had a good time worshiping God and just driving home. You see, Satan has a way of making us want to question what God did. But we have to believe, and we have to combat the devil with scriptures. When he tried to rob us of God's blessing and grace, when he wants us to doubt God, stand firm, use the scripture and rebuke him. Do not give him power over your mind. God said he would heal. He healed me. Satan lost. Satan lost again when God healed me from rheumatoid arthritis. If anybody knows arthritis pain, it's terrible. And rheumatoid is one of the worst ones. I remember days when I couldn't walk because the bones under my toe, that pain was so intense. There were days when all I could do was to lie in bed because I couldn't go anywhere. I started taking methotrexate, Vioxx, and all of those, and I think it was in 2002 or 2003, there was a thing about Vioxx that we shouldn't be taking Vioxx, and so I remember going to the bathroom and throwing away all the Vioxx. And then I started reading about the methotrexate. I had to take four methotrexate on Wednesday. The rest of the time I had to take folic acid because it depletes so many things, and I had to constantly be doing blood tests. Again, I cannot afford to maintain pharmacies. I prayed, and I remember when I came here, I was connected with Arthritis Health on Krause Avenue. I remember going there, and I'm getting very blurry, so give me a minute. Thank you. I remember going there, and Dr. Abdulke, she was mad with me. Mad because I was not taking the medication, but I was feeling good. I wasn't having the severe pain, and as long as I wasn't having pain, I wasn't going to take the medication. I know that the doctors and the doctors who are here will say, the risk of the side effects, The benefits of the medication outweigh the risk of the side effects. Yes, I know that. But at the same time, I had to make a decision. Do I keep taking the tablets? And if I'm praying, should I be trusting God that God is going to heal me? I kept on going back. They kept on doing tests. The RA factor, they could find the RA factor after a while. It was minimal. This level was high. That level was low. But they couldn't conclusively say anymore that I had RA. They started wondering what happened and, you know, started discussing, did I really have RA at the beginning? You see, I lived with RA. I think the first time it was fully blown was in 1991. I was doing my undergrad degree and doing community work, and I remember it was fully blown. And so from 1991 to 2007, I have been on these medications. So I knew when I was feeling good, and I knew when I wasn't feeling good. I also knew what happened. I knew why they couldn't find any RA factor. I was healed. I believe it. I am healed of RA. I no longer take medication. I no longer have those chronic pains. And, you know, you could say, is it in remission or whatever? I am healed, and I'm thanking God. I no longer go to the clinic because I have no need to. And I no longer take medication for RA. One more story. You see, God is in the healing business, and we have to believe that. So I knew I had uterine fibroids, and I knew I had to make a decision about it. But I always liked the decision of when, whether or not I wanted to have children. I didn't want medical science or surgery to take that option from me. So I kept on delaying what I would do. I think it was about late January 2009, I went to the GI doctor for something completely, totally unrelated. And during his examination, he said with a sense of urgency, "Who is your gynecologist? I need to call him right away." And I knew what he was talking about because I had started to feel a bulge at, I think, my left side, and it was very painful. But I just began my doctoral studies, and I didn't want anything to get in the way. You know, you can deal with that during the summer when you don't have classes and everything. But the doctor didn't think, and he didn't ask me. He just said, we need to call your gynecologist right away. So by Wednesday, I was in the doctor's office, and we were talking about surgery and, you know, what my option was. I remember he said, Your womb is a wasteland. If you don't use it, you lose it. I said to him, that's very harsh. You could tell me the same thing in a different way. I left, you know, contemplating surgery. I knew I had to do it. There were different things that were happening. There were days when I was at school and I had to call Joseph, you need to come get me. I cannot take the bus. I cannot do anything. You need to come and get me. So when he said surgery, again, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to interrupt the studies right now. I'm going to put it off until May. If classes finish April, I can do it May. So that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I did. But I was scared. I was scared because I knew other persons who had done the surgery, and they didn't live to tell the tale. I knew other persons who had done the surgery and had major complications. So I was scared, and I think one of the reasons why I didn't want to do this, not want to do the surgery, I was so hesitant, was I didn't know what was going to happen. I know that God heals through surgery, and death is also healing. But I just started my doctor program. I don't want to die. And I mean, it would be a waste having gone, done a second master's, not having an opportunity to practice. So I had all of these conversations with God. I wouldn't say to anybody, Joseph knew, my parents knew. You know, he said, talk to Craig. I'm like, I'm not ready to talk to anybody about it because, you know, it brought me tears. I was also embarrassed, and I have no idea why I was embarrassed, because I didn't go out and, you know, buy something. And sometimes when we have different illnesses or issues, we become embarrassed about it, and sometimes I don't know where that embarrassment is coming from. About 1 month or so before the surgery, I decided to write an email to my friends, and I have a lot of my friends are Christians. So I wrote this email to my friends, and the responses started pouring in. The prayers started coming. The calls started coming, and I started to feel lighter and lighter and lighter. I was no longer consumed by fear or worry or anything. I just felt light. I felt relieved, and I knew in my heart that everything was going to be okay. So we went for surgery. My sisters decided that my mother needed to be there. My mother is a crier. I was like, Mommy could come after surgery. I didn't want her to come before surgery because I was already in a place of doubt, even though it was lifting and I was teary. And I didn't want Mommy to join this party. If you know my family, sometimes they don't ask questions. So they had their meeting behind me. Ticket was, my brother called me, what is the airport? What is your address? We're not having conversations now. It's just questions. Okay, you need to pick up your mother on such and such a date. I'm like, but she doesn't need to come. You need to pick up your mother on such and such a date. She's coming on such and such an airline. We'll give you more information. So Mommy came. Mommy's a lady of prayer. Joseph is a man of prayer. So, you know, even the morning, I'm like, Mommy, you don't need to come right away. Joseph can always come back for you. No, she was coming at 7 o'clock. So I went in. The one-hour surgery became a three-hour surgery. I don't know about that. I was totally under. I hear there was a lot of complication. Joseph and Mommy were worried. I was under. My soul was at peace. And whether I died or whether I lived, I was fine. I came out of surgery. They're worried. I am fine. I'm not taking the pain medication. I remember the nurse came in and she's at first. So let me backtrack. At first, I tried to move because I needed to use the bathroom, and I felt pain as I've never felt it before in my life. I couldn't cry. It was like a wail. I can't even describe the wail, but I remember it was a wail. And she said, "You need to call for the pain medication." She gave me an injection. I had to wait a few more minutes before I could try whether or not I could get up. I still couldn't get up. I'm still not calling for the pain medication. So she did not allow me to call anymore. Every 2 or 3 hours, she came and gave me more pain medication. Honestly, I don't think I needed all of that, but when you're there, you have to do what they tell you to do. So I went home, and my sister would call, and I might be in a little pain, and I'm hesitant in taking hydrocodone. Michael Jackson had just died from an overdose. I don't know why I should be taking so much of it. And so I would not take the medication. But I was not in any pain. The pain that they were expecting, I was not in that pain. And so my brothers and sisters, I'm saying that God heals through many different avenues. Surgery is one of them. And after after that surgery, everything is okay. The chronic anemia is gone. Other complications, I can't talk about them because they don't exist for me. And so I know that my God said He would heal me. He said, if anyone among you is sick, let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. And so I know, I'm a living testimony that God heals. Not 60 years ago or 30 years ago, I am here, I'm alive, I know that God heals. And sometimes when we talk about healing, we talk about, okay, yes, but different things. My dissertation is on spirituality, and it's looking at the role of spirituality in mental health. And through all of that literature that I'm reading, they're finding that prayer helps to alleviate mental illnesses. It helps in the outcomes of physical illness. So if we don't want the personal story, there's also the scientific proof that prayer and faith works. It heals. We also need to remember that healing comes in many forms. Relief comes in many forms. And death, even though we don't want to say that, and I don't even want to think it sometimes, death is a form of healing. And so I close with the words of blessings by Laura Story. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort from family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us yet you love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healings come through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not enough. All the while, you hear each desperate plea. As long as we have faith to believe. When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart, this is not our home. What if our greatest disappointment or the aching of this life is the revealing of greater thirst the world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest night, are your mercies in disguise? And I end there by saying that sometimes the pain, the suffering, whether it is relationship breakup, whether it is physical pain, mental pain, there is a message in that pain. And the cure for the pain is in that pain. And we need to embrace it. And use the congregation, the people that we love, the Christian faith to help us. Secular world believes it. And so as children of God, We need to rest in the assurance that God heals. He said he would. And if we say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he heals then, he continues to heal now.